Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingly gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable. Then floating out is Spanish Vision, but very elegant at the 150. The darling of the turf has raced clear 3 weeks incentivised, and it's very elegant. 10 group ones, and now the greatest of them all, the Melbourne Cup. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing the Group 1 over in Adelaide. My name is Ben Clutzy. I'm your host. I'm joined by Will Alford, Nick McGualter. But before we get to the preview, we introduce Group 1 winning trainer Daniel Bowman from The Bull. Dan, I'm sure that title never gets old of hearing.
No, you never get sick of that. You just try to aspire to change it to multiple Group 1 winning trainer, but it's pretty hard to do.
Is there one in the works right now that you think could sort of take that next step?
You've always got a chance when you've got an unraced two-year-old, David Hayes used to say. But I thought Is It Me could have been, but he hasn't got the best of breathing, so that's probably going to hold him back from reaching that level. But I sort of thought after his first two starts that he might be. But anyway, we'll keep trying the two-year-olds and hopefully something puts its hand up.
Yeah, well, the Wongaroo might be for him next week. But let's quickly go back to your Rupert Clark Stakes win, 2019. Be good to your mother. Tell us about that victory and also the preparation, because not only was it great training, but it was also great placement, how you brought him through his grades and then you were able to land the big handicap Group 1.
Thank you. Yeah, it was good. I think he won a benchmark 70 at Sandown. I think it was like Easter Monday. And he won by like 7. And it was a hot speed and he just flogged him. And I sort of thought after that, that might be a nice target race for him. So we just had to map out, gradually teaching him because he still did a bit wrong and slowly rising his rating. So he won a couple more benchmark races that prep, and then we gave him a bit of a freshen up and kicked off in the, I think it was the Regal Roller, and he won that as well. And then his rating was almost in the perfect spot. I think it was around, it might have been around 93. And so we had the option to run in the Memsey, run in the Open 1400, or go to Adelaide. I think it was for the Penny edition. They're all on the same day. And we elected to run in the Memsey. And I think he only got beat about 2.8. I can't remember who won it. Might have been Scales of Justice. Got beat about 2.8, went up 1 point to go to 94. And I watched the race in the Memsey with me mate, good mate Ben Ascari. And when he only got beat 2.5, and we had 3 weeks to the Rupert Clark, I sort of turned to him and said, there's nothing that'll beat this horse in 3 weeks. Like, there's that much improvement. And then and then on the day when Linda Meach rolled across at a roaring tempo to give him a bit of cover, I couldn't believe how lucky we were. And yeah, it was a pretty easy watch.
And just on that victory,
I got $13 before the re-roll.
Huge. And we've seen the last few weeks, Declan Bates, he's the talk of the town now with Pride of Jenny. Could be horse of the year, but he rode Be Good to Your Mother that day. Your first Group 1, was it also his? And you can kind of say that you gave him the leg up to get more Group 1 opportunities.
Yeah, well, it was his first Group 1, but when he moved here, me and my wife and our business sponsored him to stay in the country. So him and his wife could stay in the country, sponsored him for 2 years. And then, yeah, he done all the work with that horse and rode it through, and that sort of, you know, kicked us both off, really, that horse.
Yeah, well,
where are you in his stripes, really?
Yeah, well, that's right. And, you know, like riding a horse like that who's got that pattern, it probably helped him catch the eye of Tony Otterbrey and get the ride on Pride of Jenny, because that's how he wanted her to be ridden, you know. So, you know, yeah, that sort 100%. Of thing might have gone towards it. But, look, it was a little bit nerve-wracking having a $2.40 favourite in your first Group 1 with a live chance. But, yeah, you always relive that day every now and then when you're having a bad trot.
Yeah, beautiful. We've got a few listener questions here. I'll read out the first one from Stu. He's a great man. He says, Dan, who's your favourite all-time racehorse, Australia or global?
I'm a bit of a victim of the punt, so I'd probably say El Segundo, because when he won the Cox Plate, I had a bit good fill-up, and I've always remembered that. But,
yeah, awesome.
Oh, I like Maldivian.
That was Colin Little, wasn't it?
Yeah, Colin Little, Luke Nolan. I think Gouch rode him the year before when he got beat by Fields of Omar, and then Luke Nolan got on the next prep.
She's also got another one. Dan, are you good to your mother? Do you want to tell us a bit about how that race name came along?
So my brother, who's not into racing and knows nothing about it, it'd get to like this time of year or Flemington Carnival and he'd ask for a tip. And I'd always say as a joke, I'll be good to your mother. So we had a few names knocked back for this horse I said to him one day, oh, what do we call this horse? And he said, be good to your mother. So we put that in and we got it.
Yeah.
Do you have a famous bull story? Obviously you've been training there for a period of time. Do you have a story that you can tell us?
Oh, an appropriate story.
Yeah. Somewhere in the middle.
Tell us when you can't tell us.
Oh, I think
Anything goes here.
The COVID year, well, it didn't end up winning, but the COVID year was a good one. I think Nashville Sound won the year before, and then we brought him back the COVID year when they split it to just 2 days and had the flat races on the first day and then the jumps races on the second day. I think he was in the last, and he was the biggest tip of the carnival anywhere, and jump favourite, $2 something. At the 300, he looked like he was going to run down Dirty Rotten Sasko. And unfortunately, he didn't. And it's left everyone with a really good meme of Ben Ascari doing his absolute nut on TV when it got beat.
I always wonder how they recovered from that on TV. Like, you just, like, just launch into something and you had way too much on and you got to start talking about the winner. Like, how do you do that?
Well, I think it's funny how they have one camera film and the person they know has had a hatful on it. Just in case they do get that sort of reaction.
They always know. Yeah. They always know.
Yeah.
So obvious.
The footage of TB is the best after he's launched one, especially when he's not working and calling one. When he's launched one and it gets beat, that's the best footage. It's priceless.
He doesn't mind calling a spade.
Well, we've touched on a few highlights here. Well, yes, correct. Well, we've touched on a few highlights, Dan. Do you want to just rewind the clock a little bit and sort of go back to your grassroots, where you started, how you got to the position where you are now, and anything that you've got in plan for the future?
It started out just doing afternoons at Kira Mars when he was down here. I was working at a plumbing place called TradeLink, and then I'd finish work and was just going out to his farm, two or three arvos, and he was just showing me the basics, and then decided to jump in the deep end and start doing it properly. So he sent me to Lindsay Park to basically fast track the learning of all the basic stuff and how to track ride track work and whatnot. And so I just sort of learnt a bit from being at Lindsay Park. Then I come back here and did a bit of time with running Weary's Warrnambool stable for 3 or 4 years. And then made the jump and went out on my own.
Yeah, nice. Speaking of Warrnambool, this carnival coming up next week, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And can you tell us a bit about the build-up and the carnival itself? And more importantly, how's the weather looking up there? Because we've heard it's quite dry for the jumps races.
Yeah, it's probably one of the only few still country carnivals where you don't have to dress up in a suit and tie and be uncomfortable all day. You can just relax and, it's nearly getting to capacity how many people we can have. The town gets booked out, all the hotels, and it's at the point now where people have to book hotels and accommodation in the surrounding towns and get buses and stuff into town for the races. But, it's always good. It's always a good crowd. It's rarely good weather, but this year it looks like it might be okay. There hasn't been much rain over the last few months, and hopefully the tracks can stay in that sort of soft range and everything gets its chance.
Yeah. So for most of us, we're the second time or third time ballers, but what can you tell us about how to survive the week? We've heard that you probably don't delve into the festivities as much as you used to, but what can you tell us about a few tips both on the track and off it to survive the week?
Yeah, look, years ago I've had some very long carnivals. Just kick off on the Sunday afternoon and you're still working during the week, but you're sort of going out each night as well. And there's been plenty of leaning over the side of a horse, trotting up the beach, throwing up into the water over the years. But I haven't done that for a long time. I've outgrown that stage of my life. But look, you want to get here, whether you get here Sunday or Monday, there's plenty of functions on the Monday now as well. It's sort of become a full week. Make sure you get a good breakfast each day. And if you can try and get somewhere around 6 hours sleep each night, you'll survive the week. But it's probably smart to stick to the mid-strength beer as well to not get too carried away.
Hey. The vodka sodas will do.
Yeah, that's at night. Vodka sodas at night. But embrace your full victim behaviour and bet in every race and just have a good week.
So what I take from that is Great Northern and Valiums. pack them both. So you were saying off air that six horses you're sending there next week, whether they get a run or not, still remains to be seen. We've got so many nominations. I think Nico tweeted out 1,400, something like that.
It's nuts.
What are some of your better chances over the week?
There's not much, you nom them, and if we get a run, we get a run. If we don't, there's nothing you can do about it. But I think I've got Mizo ready to go first up. He's crying for a wet track. We had him in last prep and he was going super and ran on a couple of good tracks and just won't let down on it. He'll go there and as a live chance first up, and if he's at me, he gets a run in the Wongoom off his first up run at Bendigo. He'll be a good chance down the weights.
CBAM.
Yep.
Hey?
Could be a
CBAM. Could be a moral, Nico reckons.
Could be a moral.
Well, I'm 1A in the fan club, and we're going straight to the Whalers and having the is it me function after the long game. I'm declaring it here and now. So it's happening.
Nico and I have actually got a side bet on what price is it me goes up, and if he goes up double figures, I owe him dinner. So I hope he does. But
I'm a big chance now that two lose in the field. I'm gonna get ten.
Yeah, he's gonna go up.
I'm gonna get $10 plus. It's gonna be a fill up. Complete.
Dreams are free, I suppose.
Well, exactly right. if you're not dreaming, you're not a punter.
That's it.
You said that you don't really delve into the jumpers, even though you do train out of Warrnambool. Have you ever, or you told us a little story off air, but can you just touch on that and why you don't really tend to want to do it anymore?
Well, I had a crack, that same horse at Nashville Sound. We'd schooled him up and hurdle trialed him, and he was a ripping jumper. Really looking forward to jumping him. Got me jumps license, and then he'd done a suspensor injury before he could have his first jump start. And it's just not for me. You know, you got to put a lot of miles into them. It takes a lot more patience, and you got to travel them all over the state to trial them. And, you know, if I got a horse that I thought was a good jumper, I'd probably tell the owners to give it to one of the better jumps trainers. You know, it's not really my niche, which I'm not afraid to say. It's just one of those things you're either really good at or you're not, and I've had two goes and broken both, so I'm probably not much good at it.
And what are your thoughts on where jumps racing sits at the moment? Because obviously Victoria is the only state who still has it, and there is a fair bit of pushback. We've got a proud jumps man on the panel here in Nico, but where do you think it currently sits?
Oh, it's starting to fight an uphill battle, isn't it? You know, like, this season hasn't started off great, whether it's because of the firm tracks or, you know, a couple of horses with bigger profiles having falls. So, you know, you'd like to see the rest of the season go smoothly for them. There's a lot of passionate jumps trainers and community. They're pretty hard about it, but it's just starting to get one of those things that's getting more groundswell to push back against it, isn't it?
Yeah, fair point. Nico, anything on that?
Well, there's a couple of pillars that are there's a couple of pillars that are contributing to that. Kieran and Deck don't probably have the influx of jumpers that they probably once had. The best jockey in the caper isn't riding at the moment, and Steve Pateman. So that's obviously an effect on turnover and the like. And yeah, jumps racing is always going to be fighting its probably place in the caper. That's just how it is, you know. Victoria is the only state that's got it now, and it's always going to be fighting. But at the end of the day, if horses like jumping, which the horses that go jumping do, well, it gives the owners and connections another chance to earn prize money, and it enables the horses to be looked after, cared for, etc., etc. As Dan can probably allude to as a trainer, if they finish racing on the flat, well, there's a lot of horses that get neglected and they don't get the treatment that they once had when they were in a racing stable. So if horses enjoy their racing and enjoy their jumping, well, they're better off being in a stable where they can earn good prize money as a jumper and continue their job in life, which is to race. They're born to race. They're bred to race. If they can continue to do that safely, effectively, efficiently, well, they should be allowed to do that.
Yep, fair enough. Before we let you go, Dan, you obviously don't know this, but my sickest ever beat on the punt came at the hands of one of your horses. And it's a story that I've explained a few times, but I've obviously never explained it to you. But we go back a few years ago to headquarters. I had a horse called Cardigan Queen going for a five-figure collect. Do you remember the race?
Yeah, Fortunate Kiss in the club colours.
Oh. And that's what made it even worse, in the club colours. So I didn't know what the horse was. Shot through, Johnny Allen was just sniffing ass the whole straight, and you got me. Too good.
Yeah, but I got my payback in that same race 12 months later when Is It Me couldn't get out, and he ran second in that race. So
I backed him that day. Oh, my God.
That was the sickest watch I've ever had.
Yeah. Off those two, was it at a Gawler or something like that?
No, he won it. Oh, he won it Penshurst and then Morphettville Park.
Yeah, that's right.
Morphettville Park.
That's right. Yeah.
And then it was first
massive
up.
Splits.
And yeah. then yeah. we had Jamie Carr Thornton. Was booked. Jamie Carr was booked. Oh, and she had the fall. Fell.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have mattered. You couldn't go over him. And to me, I'll give you one bit about that horse that Nico might like this information. He's drawn Barrier 1 twice in his life. It was Flemington that day, and he didn't get out till late, and it was Bendigo when he didn't get out at all. So he draws one, he just doesn't do any good. He just stands there and lets him go and misses a start when he seems to draw the fence. I don't know what it is, but... Yeah, I think in the rest of his future, if he draws one, we won't be sending him round.
What's the max field in the Wongoom, do you know? Is it 15?
I think it's 15 or 16. But
15. Yeah. So we're a 1 in 16 chance of doing it. if he somehow draws one, then feel free to never talk to us again.
You know, because I've put it out in the universe, it's a massive chance to happen now.
it's firming by the minute.
All right. Anyway, we'll let you go there, mate. It's been awesome to have you on for 20 minutes, and hopefully we can catch up with you next week. Nico?
Yep. Is it me? Is a good thing in the Wongoom, and we're going straight to the after party. If not, I owe Dan a night full of piss.
You heard it here.
I've just been trumpeting for
Thank you very much for coming on, Dan, and have a great night.
Appreciate it, mate.
See you next week, boys.
Thanks, mate.
See you, mate. Bye. Alrighty, resuming the podcast to go through the preview, fellas. That was our first Group 1 winning trainer on the panel. How good was that?
Yeah, lovely. we had Group 1 winning jockeys before.
It's going back a little while now, 2019, be good to your mother. But
hard to believe it was our first...
I was going to save that for the bull preview, though.
It's been a... I'm looking forward to the little date that you're going to plan. We're at Warrnambool for the two of us because Bot was,
where am I going to go?
Late entrance to the.
Bot, you can
go sit outside.
Well, you were just
depends how many winners little, I back.
You were like, oh, can I buy into the group quaddy because you knew that we were going to get a fat dividend sort of scenario. Me and Benny. Is it 3 years this year?
No, it's only
more
two.
Than two.
No,
three.
The podcast has only been going for just coming up on two. 2 years. Two this year, like two complete.
Is it three this year?
We've been to the bull last 2 years.
2 years ago, Nico and Benny, one computer, one microphone, Nico's bedroom. Monday night.
Or will it
night.
Be the third year?
Unreal.
The start of the third.
Unbelievable.
Will it be the start of the third or the start of the second?
No.
Start of third,
so yeah. I thought it had already been. Well, it's definitely 2 years. I thought it was longer than that, time flies when you're having fun. Bot's just joined in. You can see
now
what
he's
got
the big dog gig. anyway, let's talk about some racing, shall we?
Yeah, he's just gonna sell out and leave us for dead.
Nico, can you stop fucking cutting me off?
I don't really care about
it. Shut up.
Yeah, shut up, mate.
All right. I'll zip it.
Put yourself on mute. Do us all.
Was dead set pissing himself. It was happening every 20 seconds.
Do you want a track rating for Warrnambool?
Morphettville.
Track rating for Warrnambool?
Is where we're going. Nico's been watching the footy. I think he's had a few, obviously.
Way too many.
Race 7. Actually, we'll go to the track first.
That's a bold assumption out of you.
This is disaster. But did you do your job that I asked you as Nico brings out a beer? Did you do your little job for us? Morphettville railed true. Have you got anything for us in terms of data?
Well, it just looks generally fair. Like it doesn't like, I think from, I've got no idea to be honest. I don't bet in Morphettville. I barely ever look at Morphettville or South Australia in general, but from what I've seen, I think it's like really hit and miss. Like sometimes it's really on pace and sometimes it's like completely fair. So, but yeah, looking at the data, it just looks relatively fair. But obviously, like, it's an advantage to be sort of forward of midfield, sort of first six in run. It's just how Australian racing works. But yeah, I couldn't say like you want to be rousing run or anything.
I think Morphettville can be a track. This is just me observationally. It has been a track where you can sit in the 3-4 wide running line and sort of come down the middle. We've seen that in a few of their carnivals and especially in those big staying races. Maybe that's just because of momentum and getting out into the passing lanes, but it does seem like a track where you don't have to be rails and run necessarily. Yeah,
it's quite a big track.
All right, we've just lost Nico. Hopefully he comes back on soon. Hopefully he doesn't actually. At this stage, you don't really care.
Hopefully he doesn't.
Trax is soft five at the moment. We're thinking that it's going to get back to a good four at some point. Good weather in Adelaide, sort of that, you know, autumn, wintry weather with a low 20s. First race we're going to take a look at is the Australasian Oaks, or the SA Oaks as I call it. Race 7, 2,000-meter group 1 for the three-year-old fillies. Vibrant Sun is $5.50 from Wings of Song, $6. Coco Sun, $6. Conchello, $8. But I don't even know how you pronounce this New Zealand horse's name. Pulchritudinius. Absolutely butchered that, but number one.
Pulchritudinius.
Yeah, that would do. Number one, Saddlecloth. Quick Start is $9.50 in Queen Dragons.
You're long.
$12. Firstly, Bot. Map, I think anything can really happen here in some of these staying races with these. Some are going to 2,000 metres for the first time, so I don't have too many thoughts about the map. What are your thoughts on how it might play out early?
I think that Harvest Moon is the Gay Waterhouse horse and it's drawn wide, so I imagine it sort of comes across and that'll create some sort of pace. Sarasana wouldn't be up there too. Positivity looks like it has a bit of speed. So I imagine that Harvest Moon will try and find the lead. Queen of Dragons won't want to be too far away. Neither will Coco Sun. It's a good addition this year. Not necessarily class-wise, but it looks like a good betting race anyway. Vibrant Sun comes in off winning the Alexandra Stakes, and obviously there was a load of money for it first up. It was, what, like $8 into... We were sitting there on track, Ben. It was $8 on the boards, and it's ended up starting $4.85 Betfair SP favourite, and then sort of disappointed and then went to Moonee Valley and bolted in, really. There was a big gap to third, and it looks the rightful favourite, and like, if I was having an opinion this race, just looking on the ratings, I'd half probably expect it to be shorter than what it is. It'll go forward, it'll probably find a really nice position in run, and I'd be very confident about it running the 2,000 metres. It gets Mark Zara on. It's a complete, like, it'll just be first six in run and get nice cover, and that'll be the main goal anyway. It does look like it's 35 days between runs, and that's some sort of query, but look, it does look very well set up. And the other one you could sort of have something on maybe was Queen of Dragons, who comes through the Vinery, where Orchestral won. It wasn't too bad there. Fourth up. It brings in a strong rating. Yes, they went slowly there, so it could have been suited, but it's like a beaten 2.5 by Orchestral, Tour de la Vida, and then what, like a length and a half to Zardozzi. Like that's the best sort of staying fillies form, and when you measure that up against some of the other form here, it's pretty easy to sort of side with a two bet play. Like, not that I'm going to be taking it or anything, but if you were, I'd say that Vibrant Sun and Queen of Dragons, just off looking at the ratings, are the two most likely winners. And $5.50 and $12, I think that's a pretty fair sort of price range to just back the boat.
I'm seeing this race differently to Bot. I think $6 for Wings of Song is really good betting. Ever since we got 100-1 about this horse in the VRC Oaks, when I think something went amiss in the lead up and she didn't end up going around, much to our disgust, she's only lost one race since then. She's gone bang, 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 6 wins in a row. She won the Auroria last start, which is the main lead up for this. Sort of running her last 600, 4.2 lengths above the class benchmark. She just turned into an absolute lion chaser. And I think 1,800 metres up to 2,000 metres suits perfectly. She's going to get that perfect sort of 3-wide, 4-wide trail into the race from Barrier 9. And Jake Noonan Sticks, who rode her perfectly last time, put an absolute gap in Quickster. I know Quickster had the SP that day, but I just think out to 2,000 metres, it's advantage Wings of Song again. A few more for you. Conchello, it was really good in the Adrian Knox. We know that form has proven very good. The runner-up, Autumn Angel, carried 61 kilos, mm-hmm. went on to win the Oaks. And what was the one that won the St. Ledger today? Also comes out of that race.
Yeah. A Hariri or something like that? Yeah, out of the Adrian Knox.
A Hariri for Walla came out today. Of the Adrian Knox, and it was absolutely smashed in betting. So Adrian Knox is definitely a good form race, and this is why James McDonald has come to SA. So I'd probably have something on both of them. Wings of Song, definitely main result, $6. Conchello, $8. It's already ticked the 2,000-meter box, and that was on a heavy 8 track. So testing conditions, we know it's already ticked that box. The other one that was interesting that we haven't spoken about is the number one from, I'm not going to attempt the name again, but from New Zealand. It is a Group 1 winner over 2,400 metres. So naturally, at the set weights for three-year-old fillies, it gets in well. The strength of that form, I don't really know. I'm not sure if you got the ratings bot, but it also looked pretty good in a recent trial. So Gaunt Gay and Adrian, bought by Yulong to be ridden by Tim Clark. That's ominous for me. And double figures about that. Interested as well.
Yeah, no, I don't really know anything about the horse. I haven't tried or haven't really asked any questions to people that might know either. So I'm just going to leave that one alone. But I do agree with you, Conchello. Yeah, I do notice that it did go to the Adrian Knox and ran some of the fastest closing splits there, and were only beaten a 2 legs by Autumn Angel, and then good banter there. And obviously there's good form out of that race. I think four horses come out of the race, and 3 of them have won. So
I think the gap in the market is Coco Sun, to be honest. I think she's been to 2,000 metres a few times now, and in my opinion, she's sort of proven that she doesn't stay. So
She looks stronger. Agree with that. This preparation. Agree she's better that. And just, she looks a bit stronger.
I don't know. I've got $6 about Wings of Song, $8 about Conchello, and then you're serving up $6 for Coco Sun, who has been out to 2,000 metres and beyond a few times and never, ever looked likely. So that's just the way I'm seeing it. Nico, do you have any thoughts on the Oaks? Yeah, just call it number one.
Well, 1, 2 are here. So Pulcher, that was obviously the horse that was Oaks, and then Positivity ran second. Quail, Al Ferocia ran third. The New Zealand form has stood up all throughout the autumn, so I think you have to respect it to some degree. The Yulong Silks pull it back a little bit. But, you know, those horses obviously didn't race Orchestral, but the New Zealand form's been prim and proper all carnival. So I think you've still got to respect it. Wings of Song has been our horse, as you alluded to before, Cruel, that didn't go to the race down here. We had the over, didn't make it.
Would have run
last
third.
Last start, I opposed.
Would have run third.
So I thought it was just a bit of a...
Yeah.
Oh, death taxes act. But I thought that, you know, Paddy Payne, specialist with these fillies over, you know, a staying trip, I thought he would have just backed off her, and there's every chance that he did, because I love Pricey, but he gave, I think it was Quickster, one of the worst rides you'll ever see. Three wide, no cover, the journey, Wings of Song, tagged it, all the way it went, straight over the top, and I looked at myself like, this horse has gone around $9, it's one of yours, you're a fucking idiot. I was really taken by Vibrant Sun's win last start, no shit, obviously, on a big price. We go Stockdale to Zara, which is a massive plus. It's had a little bit in between runs, but the recent bit of work was... This is the horse that I think can take that next step. It showed a turn of foot at the end of its race last start, and I'm hoping that it can take the next step. I didn't take $11 early in the week, and I'm kicking myself a little bit, but from 12, it's no sure thing, but I still want to have it on side sort of thing. But this race has got a few headaches for me because there's three or four that I like, and I can't back them all. So at the moment, I'm sort of sitting on the fence with no firm opinion, but I think you can work around Vibrant Sun, Wings of Song, and then, you know, there's two or three others that you can back, but it's not really a race that I want to get involved in at the moment because it's a bit of max pain. I can feel if I zig one way, Zag will sting me in the ass.
Yeah. So just to recap, that bot is 6-5. I am 2, 11, and 1. Nico's sort of working 6-2 and may have another one depending on what happens on the day.
Probably everything, and just hope you have the roughest one.
Just throw a million darts and one has got to land on the board. $26
field league in the
for Wings of Song in that VRC Oaks. I'll never get over it. $26 a place that was. All right, let's go to the Sangster.
Wasn't
Group 1, 1,200 metres.
She was only beating mules in Tassie was the narrative.
Yeah. Boy, can you
thanks
like
for that, Nick.
Put a mask on this man or something.
But you weren't on, champ.
A muzzle on him. He needs a muzzle or something. Muzzle.
Gee, I'm glad Essendon didn't
win. Well, Max Payne.
I'll tell you that.
Would have ran third. Oh, don't get fucking started on the football. Don't go there. I'm living. Absolutely living.
Can you kick him or something?
Just mute
yourself.
Like,
can you mute him?
If Essendon won tonight, you'd be inaudible right now.
Well, he wouldn't be.
Race 8. Estriella is the $3 favourite. IME is $5.50 second elect. Benedetta, $8. So the top three in the market, all looking for that elusive Group 1 win on the breeding page. Zapateo did win that Group 1 last start with victory in the Galaxy at a big price, beating Sunshine in Paris. She's $8.50 from Passive Aggressive, $9.50. Stretton Angel, $10. Roots, $13. There's a million jokes there. And Learning to Fly, $16. thoughts on this map? I think one of the key changes with this race is obviously the fact that Blake Shin has been riding Estriella. They make the switch here. Ben Mallum unavailable. So Shin goes on IME. Mark Zara goes on Estriella. Can't make 54.5. So has to ride half a kilo over at 55. Draws out an 11. So what are our thoughts on, firstly, the map and how the race might pan out?
Well, IME, I think, will lead. Be interesting to see what Passive Aggressive does, because she can lead, but she took a sit last time, which was interesting. Estriella will want to be forward. I don't think she'll want to lead, but I think she'll be sort of first sort of six in run, and I don't know. Waltz on by to. That can go forward, but doesn't really have to. Even Climbing Star has a bit of speed, but yeah, I think IME has to lead if it wants to win.
I've backed IME at $6.50. I think she is just so well set up here, and she will never get a better opportunity to win a Group 1 race. I think getting Blake Shin on is massive because we know how well horses travel under him. And as good as Estrella has been, she has been only racing against three-year-old company. I know she'd been running fast times, good ratings, etc. But you still got to come up against the big girls and do it. And she hasn't done that just yet. She did beat a horse named Robrick two starts back, who would be 100-1 here. She then found the fast lane drawing, I think, barrier 14 down the straight where you literally needed to be in that spot down this Flemington straight. Yes, it was an awesome win, but it was at 1,100 metres. She now draws barrier 11 with a new jockey who probably doesn't know Morpheville that well in Mark Zara. And I just think IME backed her at $6.50. She brings the proper form. She was only beaten 2.2 lengths by Imperatriz last start. That was first up. And she didn't get a good run that day in the William Reid. She was sort of third, three and four wide, sort of carting the field up. If you look back to her preparation last time, in, she's a proper horse. She ran second in a Rupert Clark, group onto Magic Time. How good is that form? Magic Time has come out and won the All Age Stakes. She ran second to Imperatriz in the Manicato. And she also won the Sydney Stakes, beating EMN and Bella Nipotina. So the last few times she's bumped into Bella Nipotina, she's beaten her. And we know Bella Nipotina is a really, really solid Group 1 benchmark. She's no superstar. She's probably two lengths off the absolute elites. But I just think this race sets up so well for IME. She's got the form on the board. I think she has the rating to win this race. And it's going to become Catch Me If You Can, as Bot said. Likely could be the leader.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think Estrella is, she's really, really, really good. She ran really fast time, and yeah, she belts it up the Coolmore form. She's a bit short. I imagine she gets out a little bit, but
if she gets back out to 350, yeah, 360, I'll probably chop to save my IME stake. I think the market's pretty much got it right, but
yeah. Yeah, Waltz on By looks like a big price to me. She was really good at Caulfield. Big splits. Like, she looks like she's come back better. She's well bred. Like, I can just see her sort of going to a big new peak. And yeah, even a horse like Learning to Fly, I think she's still relatively unexposed. She's been well backed early. She's been sort of 18s in, but. She doesn't seem the worst either. So, but at the same time, she probably goes back. And
I agree with you there. I think Waltz on By looks a big price. If you can get sort of 50s for her, you can have something on. And if Benedetta is sort of 750, then Climbing Star probably shouldn't be as big a price as she is. Like, you might get $26.
That's good. Problem with her, she's probably going to have to go back from the wide barrier, and she's got no chance if she does that. But yeah, I just think, like, if you get $350, sort of almost even $4 Estrella, I think that's just the tipping point, and you just have to bet, really, because she's still on the way up. I think, like, the time she ran and the split she was running sort of suggests that she's still only ascending. So these are a bunch of good Group One fillies, but she could be like as I said, I think she would have won the TJ. So she sort of has to be. And it's a question of if she repeats it, and it's no guarantee that she will, but she's in the right camp to stay in form, and she's only fourth up. So I'd back her to stay in form. She's got capable hand, capable jockey. She definitely doesn't have hands. Incapable hands. So
IME is also in the right camp to keep improving. Nico.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, but she's been around for, like,
Estrella's ceiling.
She's not getting any better.
Like, there's an obvious chance that Estrella's ceiling is going to be higher than IME's. But,
like, best horse in Australia.
But that doesn't mean, like, she produces she could, on, like, Saturday.
Yeah.
Nick?
Well,
yeah.
Zaz getting down to 55 is a big, big indication that Estrella's going really, really well, I think. He doesn't get down to that weight very often at all, and I think that's a fair lead that she's humming. It's not really a race that I have a firm opinion on.
No shit, she's humming.
Well, this is still,
She won the Sun one by three.
A big step from where she's been.
Not really.
It was all that easy.
She runs the range she did last time. She probably wins.
Simple as that. Yeah. I think she's on top. I think she's hard to beat, but it's. I don't think she's a laid out moral by any margin. It's a cracking race.
Where does she land from 11?
Well, they sort of have to go back and come with one run sort of thing, I think, which has been different to her pattern the last couple. Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. I don't know if she goes forward or back, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't quite know, to be honest. It's not an easy map, but Zaz getting down to that weight.
All right, any other bets, Morpheville?
No, nothing for me. But
I've got one in race three. I reckon you'll end up agreeing with me, Nico. The Chairman Stakes, 2,000 metres group three.
Oh, yes.
I think number three, Warmonger, should be the clear-cut favourite in this race. Was desperately unlucky not to beat Air Assault last start. Just couldn't quite get there. But I thought the final 600 was impressive. Up to 2,000 metres, third up is perfect. Third up, last preparation, went to 1,800 metres with Frosty on and beat Queen of Dragons in a listed race at Flemington. I just think it sets up really well here. And Air Assault, look, it's a consistent horse, but another 200 metres and I think Warmonger will be eating up the ground and beating it this time around. So $3.20 versus $2.90, I think you can flip them. Warmonger should be favourite. Bold Soul's not without a chance, but I'm very keen, the three. I think it's the best bet in Adelaide. It goes from carrying Tom Stockdale last start to getting Frosty back on. And as I said, just set to peak 2,000 metres. So pretty keen there. In the group three, race three.
Yeah.
There's something about Mercante. I remember I had something small on it in the
what
derby.
What price is it? $26.
$26.
Don't know. Yeah, I reckon that's a good bet. Hey, $26 for that thing. That thing's like, yeah. What the? I think it's like a half to a good horse, like a horse that ran second, or not ran in a Cox play. I can't remember the good New Zealand horse. Might be Legia Valentina. I think it's anyway, I backed it in the Derby, and I think it's a really nice horse, and that is a ridiculous price. It should be like close
huge.
To favorite.
Legia Valentina, what a horse! One of the finer Emirates Stakes wins I have seen. Race four, the John Hawks. What do you think of this race, Potter? What you need. Was solid first up, $4 favorite from Sharipa, $5 off the fresh, and Sons Doot, $6, extremely lucky, $9.50, and Prestia, $9.50 as well. Any thoughts?
What you need was off a long break and obviously drifted quite heavily, and like it was okay, but like to make it favorite, you sort of got to say that it's going to get straight back to its best form. Maybe with the run it can, but geez, I don't know. Like it's a big call. Sharipa. Yeah, this is a tricky race. Pressed Down was really good last time, but they probably go back from 13. Grey River has a run in it. Sans Duke was really good, but it was in the best lanes that day. And, that looks like a like.
And
a
what do you do
with
extremely
seconds, but
extremely lucky getting back to the race for the first time since that massive win?
I don't know.
It's trialed all right, but it just hasn't done anything in a while. It's off 20 weeks. It's hard to trust, but wouldn't surprise. Look,
yeah,
Sharipa's got to carry the 59, but he's the bet, isn't he?
Probably. I don't know. It doesn't look like a race I want to be involved in. And the horse I was thinking of was Tavachi, not Lucia Valentina. Same colours.
Yeah, right.
Tavachi.
All right, let's go across to Caulfield. What are we doing with the rail here, Botta? Are we true?
It's in the chew, isn't it? I barely even, I haven't done Caulfield massively, but there's a couple that just stick out like dog's balls to me. Like, this race is very, I mean, this meeting is always
four
very,
meters.
I said it last year, I say it every single year. This race, yeah. 4 meters. Okay. Yeah, right. Well, that's how much I'm really paying attention to this meeting, because it's not one I really ever get involved too much in, because it's so top heavy. Like, it's the horses that are favorite are very obviously favorites, and it's the same every year because it's restricted races to the sales. So what, like 2 weeks ago at Caulfield, and like I was struggling to get, like, on my prices, I was struggling to get horses inside 3-1. Like, it's hard to get, like, every single favorite's almost $2, just because that's the nature of the way that the fields are, because the best is a lot better than the rest. There's no depth is what I'm trying to say anyway. But for the two bets that, like, sort of just stick out like dog's balls to me, my computer shits itself and my Wi-Fi is not working. But anyway, it's race number 3, Pounding. He resumed really, really well at Bendigo. I'm pretty sure my computer's not working. He ran third to
General Bowen. It was the Country Discovery.
Savannah Cloud. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. General Bowen, Savannah Cloud. Splits were fine. And he resumed somewhere near where all of his peaks are. He's one of the most, that period where he went from winning like a benchmark 70 to running third in the Australia Cup was, he just kept running essentially the same rating, and he resumed just about on that and over 1,200 metres. So, you know, up in distance, yes, it's 12 to 16. It's not exactly perfect, but yeah, I don't see a lot of speed here. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if they try and even like go and like, not maybe not lead, but just sort of find a position, get lucky. And yeah, if he runs to like his rating that he ran in, like he's carrying 60 kilos, but you know, if he runs to the form where he's being beaten a length and a half to Cascadian in a Australia Cup, or when he ran fourth in the Fian, second up last preparation, well, he's a lot better than a 250 chance. So yeah, he looks like an even money shot to me. And like the other thing is, like, I could have probably even backed Barbie's Fox as well, but I won't. But like, technically I probably could, just because there's just no depth in these races, and it's boring, and I don't want to just keep launching into 250 shots that should be.
You're getting pretty involved if you're backing a $2
and I'll go to
$5 shot.
Well, yeah, and then the other one I want to be on as well is Mowdown in race number 6. I like this horse a lot. It's it was sort of really well back behind Schwartz on was at Stakes Day, I think, in the Amanda Elliott. Yeah, it's Stakes Day, yeah. And sort of just ran second behind Schwartz off a really good maiden win where it was big splits. And then resumed at Pakenham, I think. And then it went to Pakenham again and bolted in. Big splits and then from a wide barrier at Bendigo, sort of just did a little bit too much, was wide, and I think fourth up it'll peak, it'll probably just sit somewhere forward of midfield. I don't really care where. I think Elphinstone's the obvious danger, but it was a big peak and a big sort of progression from first to second up, and I wouldn't be surprised if it comes off it. It was just a little bit, it's a big spike rating, and everything sort of happened perfectly for it. So I think Mowdown should be a more pronounced favourite than what it is. And Sox Nation's in there. He's been up forever, and I just don't think he's really any good. So, yeah, Mowdown is a very clear and easy bet for me in the Guineas, the Vobis Guineas.
I'll talk about Hedged in a sec, because I am going to have a three-leg mug multi starting in race 3, number 1, Pounding. Yeah, just rinse and repeat of everything that Bot said. He was huge first up in the Country Discovery. That was 1,200 metres, which is not his distance. He went around $41 SP and he ran third, only beaten sort of a long neck. 1200 to 600 meters is a bit of a gross setup, but he's just got panels on these from a class perspective. And if there is one horse, sorry, if there is one trainer who can train him like this to go 1200 to 1600, it is Peter Moody. He throws his old mate, Luke Nolan, a bone, 60 kilos, so he won't have to waste or anything for the ride. I'm not sure what his other book looks like, but yeah, that should be a good one for him to get another city winner on the board. Race 8 in the showdown, 1200 meters. Initially, you look at this race and you think, how can I get Bold Bastille beaten out to 1200 meters? Because she does give sort of squibby vibes in some sense of the word. She's been very fast out and sort of curling up a little bit late at times over 1,000 metres and 1,100. But I just don't know what else is here. The Danger Lincolnshire draws barrier 12, and there's a big chance that she's going to be wide and working early in the piece. And I just think Bold Bastille is going to be too good. Even though she is sort of fifth run in to only her second preparation and she does have to rise to 1,200 metres, I think $1.80 is fair enough, and she is the second leg of the multi. And the third leg of the multi will be race 9, number 1, Hedged. That run in the Arrow Field actually surprised me a little bit. I didn't realise how much he would measure up to those. Bit sickening to be beaten by the 1,000 Guineas winner, Jolly Star, who was returning, smashed in betting. And Hedge was obviously unlucky, held up a little bit in the straight a few times. Definitely should have won the race. But nonetheless, he comes here and he can win this. I think he gets in fine with 59 kilos. Is this a set weights and penalties race? Must be. But with his rating, I think he gets in fine. He's a horse who has clearly ticked the 1,200 meter box now, ran the fastest late splits of the race last time around, sort of running 2.3 lengths above the class for the last 600 last start and close to 3 above the class for the start prior, which was in the Sunlight Classic. Behind, Estriella, who is the Group 1 favourite in the Sangster. So I think Hedge is really hard to beat. Moby Dick seems tight enough compared to him. He's obviously a big talent, but at the end of the day, although he went back to 1,100 metres last start, he still got beaten by Atlantic Spirit, who was 60. So he only has the benchmark 64 win and the maiden win to his name, and he just looks a little bit tight compared to Hedge. I hope we get better than even money for Hedged, but I think the percentage will be coming out of some of the longer price horses rather than Moby Dick.
Yeah, he looks extremely well placed. If he runs to his form, he just, like, I'd be surprised if anything else matches him. He's just faster than the other horses. That's simple. Like, if he last start was a peak, and there's always that sort of question: can he do it again? But yeah, he's fourth up. The time was, there was nothing wrong with the time. It was he got keen in the run, so you could maybe even say he could go better. And, you know, the only horse that I think can beat him is Moby Dick, and he was quite disappointing last time. So, and he's got to get a long way back from the barrier. And yeah, Moby Dick desperately needs 1,400 meters and maybe even a mile. So, yeah, Hedged is, he looks very well placed on Saturday. And yeah, it's great place.
Chase that Vobis prize money. Nico, do you have any other?
Yeah. Shit for punters, but good for owners. This meeting.
Any other bets around the country? Can be Friday, can be Saturday, can be Sunday. Open the floor to you, then Will, and then I'll speak a little bit about Hong Kong.
Well, I thought Bold Bastille would be extremely hard to beat, as the market's telling you. She's been super this preparation. I think she'll be super again. Enroll her in the Hedge, I think. And I thought in the last race, even though he's first up, Jimmy the Bear has been going super in his preparation to here. And I think he'll run a big race first up. I think So Risque is potentially scratching and going to a race at Warrnambool. So buy beware, there's potentially scratchings there. Him in 16, Belair in 17. Would be no sure thing to run, I wouldn't have thought. And Devoted in 15 may not run. But, yeah, Jimmy's drawn well. He will be running. even though he's got a nomination at Warrnambool, confirmed he's going here, and I think he'll run well. That was all for me at Caulfield. This weekend's not all that exciting. Focused in for next week.
Yeah, exactly right. Will, around the grounds?
No, I don't really have anything. I haven't really had the time to go over everything, but I might bet tomorrow, Cranbourne, and I think I'm racing Ararat as well, so I might do like a Betfair thing if I find Sweet. Anything.
All right. Massive day of racing in Hong Kong on Sunday. It is FWD Champions Day. There are three Group 1s. You've got the mile, you've got the sprint, and you've got the cup over 2,000 metres. We'll start on the Chairman's Sprint Prize, a race famously won by Chautauqua a few years ago, the Grey Flash. It features California Spangle, who's the $3.20 favourite. Victor the Winner sort of $4.50. Mad Cool's on the same line. I think the big thing with Hong Kong this week is obviously how much rain they've had. If you haven't sort of been keeping up, it's been monsoonal weather, and that looks to continue. I think they had a dry day today, but it looks to continue tomorrow, and there does look a bit of rain on race day. So that is why I'm going to make Victor the winner, my on-top selection in the Chairman Sprint Prize. This is a horse we saw absolutely towel up Lucky Swain-S when they met on a wet track. That was in September of last year. I know he had the big weight advantage that day, but he has proven that he can glide through these conditions, which a lot of horses in the race haven't. Hong Kong, they do often race on dry tracks. They don't race in the peak wet season. So a lot of these horses won't know what hit them if this is a genuine heavy track, if they do get rain on race day. Mad Cool, he's the Jap. You know, a lot of those Japanese horses are often running on firm too. So Victor the winner, he draws barrier two. I think he leads California Spangle, who draws seven. I think he's just a little bit too quick for him out of the gates at 1,200 metres. California Spangle has gone back to the sprint trips, and he's been awesome, obviously winning in Dubai. But back to Sha Tin here, where the pace is on early, and Victor is one of the fastest horses out of the barriers. I just think he burns him off early, and I think he'll handle the track better. So pretty keen on Victor the winner in the sprint. The Champions Mile is very difficult because Golden 60 is my boy. He's my favorite horse, but he is a horse that does not like heavy tracks. We've seen that a few times. The most famous example is when he did race over 2,000 meters, so maybe you can sort of put an asterisk next to that. But Russian Emperor put 5.5 lengths on him that day on a really wet track. He just simply didn't handle it. The wheels spun and ended up finishing third. So if this is really wet, then it's buyer beware, because you probably don't want to be taking in the red about the champ if it is heavy. So just hold your fire there. See how wet it actually is. If it's not that bad, then he's a great bet, of course. I don't need to tell you that. But if it's wet, then maybe just hold your powder. He might not be a bet. He faces Voyage Bowl, Beauty Eternal, Beauty Joy, and also Red Lion. So he's got some stiff competition. I actually think once final markets sort of come out on the Sunday, that Red Lion, there's a big chance that he'll go up overs. And he is a horse that beat Beauty Eternal one day on a really wet track. So he's one that can get through it. He's ran in the placing second and third his last two starts when we've identified him as a roughie. And I think he could do it again. So hopefully you get sort of $4 a place for Red Lion. He might be a good place bet. And in the QE2 Cup, we see Romantic Warrior. He's looking to become the first horse ever to win this race three times. And it will be three times consecutive. He draws barrier 10 of 11, but we've sort of seen that this is not really an issue with his horse. He's got tremendous gate speed. J-Mac will bang him up there. I think wet track is probably still a little bit of a concern with him. We haven't seen too much wet track form for him. So I've already backed him at $3. I've backed Prognosis at $8. The Japanese horse who one last start in Japan, and I think it was a new career peak for him. So he's obviously flying, but wet is probably concerns. Dubai Honor is a horse that you can obviously elevate a lot with this weather. He's currently $7. If it's wet on the day, he's not starting $7. He ran at Kempton last start on the Syntho. I think that's a race that Enable has used as a prep run before, or something. Maybe not that exact race, but she's used Kempton before when it has been sort of the jump season coming to the end and wet tracks. Right. He won that really well, as he should. He was the class horse in that race. And unlike last year when he came to Hong Kong, that was a bit of an afterthought. Obviously, he won the Randwick and he bolted in the Queen Elizabeth. And I just don't think he was at his best last year at Hong Kong when beaten by Romantic Warrior and Prognosis. He ran third in that race. I think he's a lot better set up here. And I think his price will be a lot tighter than $7 on the day if it's raining, because we know he absolutely loves the mud. So that's a quick summary of the three group ones. Keen Victor, the winner. In the mile, sort of wait and see. Golden 60 is the best horse, but wet is real concerns. And then in the cup, I'm Romantic Warrior on top from Dubai Honor. You can elevate him to maybe even first if it's proper wet. And Prognosis, he's flying, but I don't think he wants the rain. All right, Backlay Pro.
Sweet. Yeah, okay. I'll do my best bet will be Pounding, I'll say, and I'll go Mercante, and Adelaide can be my best prey. And I don't know about Adelaide. There was one today that was like one of the best lays of all time, but I can't think of anything. Yeah, it all looks very right to me on Saturday. I couldn't lay anything.
Yeah, sweet. I'll go best bet. I'll make it Morpheville. Race 3, number 3, Warmonger. I'll go the hamburger with a lot, as Nico likes to call it. Max Payne, lay of the day, is number 1, Air Assault, in the same race. And for an each way, I'm on IME in the Sangster, but let's make the biggest roughie of the day, Waltz on By. Race 8, Morpheville, number 11. I think you can get 40, maybe 50 to 1. Nico, anything?
Sweet. She is a big play. Yeah, I don't have a hell of a lot for the punters. My lay of the day would be Air Assault, of the same opinion of Benny. Warmonger will beat it. It fell in last start. Sick beat if you're on Warmonger, like I was. My best bet would probably be Bold Bastille into Hedged. I think you just take a little double, run with it, and that's it. I think Jimmy the Bear at $12 or so right now is probably over. He's going to cop less than that if there's deductions. But, yeah, it's not really a weekend that I want to play into. I'm chips into next week.
Sweet. All right, a few questions before we wrap things up. Kyle Wilkendaughter, give us a tip in the highway. I did send the questions in, so have any of you taken the time to look at the highway and give this man a tip?
Sorry, mate. No.
I'm going to give him one off the cuff.
Well,
favourite win, Matthew Dale, Martini Mama. There you go.
Probably it. Yeah, you're probably on the money there.
Coops Irwin, Bot, if we put your dog in a race at Wenty Park out of box one, reckon it could win?
I'd probably have a five.
What's your dog? What's your dog's name? One.
He's pretty quick.
Dash the Dash Hound.
Yeah, he'd be retired.
His nickname Bratwurst. What's his nickname?
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. I'm not that old. I assume that's someone from like 2000.
No, someone will get it. Someone will get the joke. Anyway, it's a joke about hot dogs, sausages. Ryan Deith, Will, what are your thoughts on Bob the Horse? Interesting.
I was literally just looking at a race and Bob the Horse won.
There you go. But how do you feel about being on a heater today? Good day, was it? HQ?
Yeah. Me? Yeah, it was a good day in the end. But I didn't back here to say. I backed Peace Treaty, who was what has happened to Peace Treaty? Cliff. The expected rating from first up, it started $2, odds on the plastics, and just better than even money, Betfair versus Sione, courses that are Sione's $5 and the Queen of the Turf in Adelaide. What the fuck has happened to it? Anyway, and I backed the Anzac, the 2-year-old winner. That's a good horse, that one. Its grandma is Princess Coot, who won a couple of Group 1 races and started favouring at Caulfield Cup and ran in the Melbourne Cup. And Princess Coop is Argentia's
mum. Ryan says this was what got you into horse racing. That was for Dan Bowman. Yeah, absolutely flying.
Farjack's got a good horse. Yeah.
That's Ryan asked what got Dan into racing. Nico covered off on that one. Ben, what was your stat line at footy last weekend? We lost. So that's
many though. Touches.
I think I had. I was playing backline, so I had lots of kickouts. So I sort of cheated. I don't know. I think I had mid 20s, but I had a few turnovers. So not great.
Good for his super coach.
Yeah. Ryan Deef, this is a good one. Nick, how can you love the Bull so much when it will be a heavy 34 F track and roughies galore?
Well, it'll be a soft 7 and perfect. And the track will be fine. It's the best carnival of the year. It's not easy. But regardless of what happens, it's still the best week of the year.
Yeah. I don't think I've won the first 2 years, overall.
I can't wait.
But I've still had an absolute ball. So it is what it is.
I can't remember if I won last year. I piled into fucking something. I think I took $11 and it started $2.50. It was one of those ones. What was it? It was in a staying race and it got way too far back. It was Lindsay Horse. I think it was called Fuermont. I think it opened $11.
Yeah, there's so many steamers at the ball and it's
I completely steamed into it and it fucking went back.
She's got, yeah, I'm not asking. I'm not answering that one.
What is it?
No, I'm not reading that yet.
I'm gonna find it.
RD says, Nico, give the punters an early tip for the Bull.
You'll have to tune into the socials on Monday, champion.
Oh, but if you had to just give a few in the feature races, what's on top right now? What's the
Stan Idol's going to win the Brierley, so you've got to find something that's going to run a drum. I think if you can get a good dividend, Mighty Oasis the place, I think he could be the value in the Brierley. Who knows what's going to happen in the maiden hurdles? It just depends who lines up in which race. But Bedford could be hard to beat in the Gallywood. All just depends on weight. His recent trial was super. But as we touched on before, there's that many nominations in all the races. You just need to see the final fields and go from there. But there'll be winners. We just got to find them.
I got one. I think I think it's called Bargino. I think it's Simon Wilde. Massive splits in out of a highway race, and there's a couple other ones. There's Thunder Hawk, where if that goes to Warrnambool, it's in a couple of the nominations, and Cotton Tree. They're in the nominations. They're both like they're just the typical big splits out of a maiden that you just want to smash in going up and troop in Warrnambool. But I could not give a shit about the whatever the Brierley or anything. I just want to smash random maidens and just off massive splits. That's what I'm most looking
for. All right, and the last one is from Artie again. More relationship advice, he reckons. Ben, can you give the listeners some wisdom on what makes a healthy relationship? See, the funny thing here is that RD has been in a happy relationship with his childhood lover for the best part of 15, 20 years, and he's still asking me for advice. I should be asking you for advice, mate, if anything. I don't know. You need to teach me. That's all I'll say to that. Or even you boys can teach me. You've had a bit more experience. This is all new to me. All right. Anything else? All right, let's wrap up there. We'll be back. What are we doing? Are we doing a Sunday or are we doing a Monday for the Bull preview? We might end up having to do two. Just whip out the laptop on a...
Yeah.
Nico?
Monday, I reckon.
Live vote?
Well, Tuesday fields aren't going to be out until Friday, but the rest of the fields won't be out until Monday.
So what, if we did a Monday, so we could do it all in one hit?
Yeah, we do it Monday.
Monday. Yeah, I think so.
No, we don't want to do one.
If we do it in two, we could do Sunday and just do day one and two on Sunday. And then people get an extra day to listen. All right,
we'll do that.
Sunday podcast, Sunday night, day one and two of the Bull, and then we'll do day three on the either Monday or Tuesday night. Sweet. Sounds like a plan. Yeah. All right. Thank you, punters. We'll be back here on Sunday night and then maybe Monday or Tuesday to preview another massive Warrnambool Racing Carnival. We'll be celebrating 2 years of the podcast, fucking two complete years. So it's been an absolute journey. It's been a ride, probably one of the fastest growing racing podcasts currently out there. So we thank everyone so much for following.
Yeah. How do you come listen to it?
And,
anyway, I cannot.
We take it as it comes. Thanks, punters. Good luck this weekend. See you back here on Sunday night. Thank you.